Heyo, everybody. Welcome to Mojo. I think this is, what, our fourth show? Does that sound about right, Joe?
Again, I'm from New York. We don't have counting here. It's not something big in our educational system. I apologize.
No, that's okay. Really, you could have said all of America.
Wow.
The Canada, America, we're going to be coming at it this show. This show, I think, is our fourth show, because the last one was episode number 3, which was entitled... Mojo, the Mo and Joe Show, the most dangerous man in comics, because that's you. And I am...
Clearly.
What's that?
I said clearly.
Clearly the most dangerous man in comics. And I'm nowhere near that. This one's going to be titled, though, The Great Joe Mulvey-Chris Beck Debate. Because we have with us this show, We Talk Comics co-host Chris, who, if you're the most dangerous man in comics, this guy's probably the most disturbing man in comics. Chris, how are you doing?
I love it.
I didn't know I was in comics. I just read them.
Yeah, you just you do a podcast.
Yes, but that's just about talking with my buds. Nobody listens. At least I assume nobody listens.
Well, all right. Anyway, so we're gonna catch up a little bit though with you, Joe, first before we get into the debate and we talk a little bit about scam and everything, because you're on a phone line this time instead of usually like we do this through a Skype. Because I don't know, I understand, there was a little storm in your neighborhood?
Yeah, we had a little, wind and rain in the New York area, a nice little, once every 100-year perfect storm type, hurricane that came through. Named Sandy, not the most imposing name, but, quite the force. So I am without internet, unfortunately, so, we are using the phone line.
So how long have you been out without internet since when now?
Since the storm, which is a solid week and a half past now, I was lucky enough that I was not near any water, because I've actually spent the last 2 weeks helping friends out with kind of either collecting up what's left of their life afterwards, or trying to bail out their house, because it's some pretty surreal shit, for lack of better words. You never think this will happen in New York. Maybe it's just me, but you live in New York and you're thinking, you know, we're the center of the world and, you know, this kind of stuff doesn't happen. And then you see the storm hit and, like, just the vicious, violent force of water is unbelievable. Like, I was yesterday in Breezy Point in the Rockaways, where I have a friend lived. So we go there to help him pretty much gut his first floor, which had, like, 3 feet of water. And you're walking around surveying the whole area, and it's like water just pouring through the front windows of a house and then just literally ripping the house apart. So water just came in from the ocean, busted its way through the window, and literally broke the house in half.
That's unbelievable.
Like, you know, you don't ever think of this. And the one really cool thing was I was walking around yesterday with a beer, because you're like, well, it's martial law down there. You don't give a fuck. So you're walking around drinking a beer, looking at this shit, shaking hands and giving hugs and helping people out. And it was so funny because this one guy had a house that was tilted like 60 degrees. And in his window, he had a statue of the Submariner.
Oh, you're kidding
and,
me.
I swear I have a picture of it. And I was walking by and the guy's like, and I'm like, Submariner. He's like, you get it, buddy.
That's awesome.
He just gave a wave, and, you know, it was surreal. So thankfully, my family and I didn't go through any of that. We're not in an area by water, but we still have, like, 70, 80, 90-mile-an-hour winds, trees uprooted, cars and houses, you know, kind of affected and destroyed. And unfortunately, internet and cable lines down. So as I kind of still wait for internet, my access is pretty much based on my phone or trying to get to other areas to use computers. But we also have a gas shortage, so it's hard to drive anywhere because we have pretty much like police people at gas stations, so there's no fights and people jumping lines, and lines are like 4 and 5 miles long to get gas. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I've heard a little bit about that there. And first off, I have to say, when I first heard there was a storm coming, somebody mentioned it to me, and I was at work, and I went to go turn the TV on because I work in a place where there's media, and so we're able to usually monitor the stations. I was expecting, my first instinct was, okay, let's go check the storm, see what those poor folks in, Louisiana or Florida are going to be hit with now. And then you hear New York, and you do a double take, like, it's going to New York? It just didn't seem, didn't seem likely, but...
The craziest thing is, like, as a lifelong New Yorker, when you saw the Battery Tunnel, which is, like, a majorly traveled tunnel in New York, it was filled with water to the top. You're, like, you're looking at this thing, and you're, like, you're waiting for, like, Michael Bay to yell cut, because it's, like, a disaster movie type thing, and then you're just, like, wow, this is real. And, we'll live through it, we'll survive through it. Life will go back to normal, but it was definitely a smack in the face of nature and reality in an uncool way. I'd rather watch it in a movie than experience it.
Well, yeah, no kidding. And it's like you say, it's a smack in the face of reality, because this isn't something. This isn't something you could have prepared for. I mean, I guess you'll get to know a lot about people through something like this, but it just seems to me like New York being through enough over the last several years, so.
A week and a half without internet porn. Amazing.
Well, listen to me. That's what the phone is for. I do have 4G. So with my phone service, I do get my porn sites. However, it's the streaming and the buffering that just makes it so much more painful to watch.
Yeah, exactly.
But thankfully, if you really know me, my DVD collection is quite well stocked. So I was porn prepared for the storm. So that's not a problem.
That's true. So everybody in your family, you say everybody's safe there. Friends, everybody's safe. But a lot of possessions lost, that type of thing. That's where, I guess you see a lot of the damage that people are going to have to go, figure a way out through.
Yeah, I don't want to bring down the podcast with hearing the depressing stories that I've heard, but I'll just say that thankfully people are, that my close friends and family were able to get out relatively soon. I had one friend that stayed at the Rockaways on like 92nd Street, which is right across the street from the beach, and he decided to tough it out until he saw the boardwalk itself start to buckle and upheave. And then he decided to get out because it was just crazy. He has video on his phone that's like insane. Cars being, thrown away like they went around like they were nothing. But beyond that, all friends and family, okay, healthy. Houses can be replaced. Cars can be replaced. Kids and parents can't. So, thankfully, everything is good.
And, I heard about this gas situation. I heard that you can go for a gas station at 3 in the morning, and it's still a 3 or 4 hour wait. But don't they have gas just over in New Jersey?
Crazy.
Isn't there gas in the areas, surrounding areas? That doesn't make any damn sense to me.
It's getting better now because they just enacted an even or odd number on your license plate type rule. So if you have, if your license plate ends in an even number, you go one day, and then the next day is the odd number. So that really has helped. But I have a lot of family that live upstate, and they've been actually coming down and helping out people by, they've been buying, 5 gallon drums and, filling up, 10 of them and then driving down. So, they've been, it's been helpful, but, definitely just something that, something to be able to talk about later. It's just an inconvenience more than anything else.
Well, you know what? The other thing, though, as I say, that it seems like New York's been through a lot, though. If there's one thing I can say about New York from an outsider's point of view, when you guys have a challenge, it just seems to me like no community seems to tighten and come together as much as you guys. I know that there's obviously been some, as I say, people cutting in line and some bad situations, but it seems like a lot of people are able to support each other, and the community is coming together in a big way too, though.
Yeah, it's all I'm not just going to say of New York. Obviously I'd be proud of where I live, but when you see this kind of stuff happen, all of a sudden those little petty things kind of go to the side. If you've driven a car in New York, you know that every person, including myself, that drives a car, from a grandmother to an 18-year-old who just got his license, are all fucking scumbags. They're douchebags. they run stop signs. They don't want to stop feed. We all want to fuck each other as much as we can. I mean, you're you know, before you walk, you know how to give the middle finger in New York. And all of a sudden, people are a little kinder. They're a little nicer. We all know we've got to give it a couple of weeks so we can get back to being the natural assholes we are.
You all become
Let's
Canadian
try to be decent
couple,
human beings.
You become Canadian for just a couple of weeks?
Yeah, exactly. We're all, you know, we're all wearing toques, and we're all just, you know, trying to be nice to each other and help each other out. But, yeah, no, it's kind of a weird thing to see. But, like, you know, as a writer and as a creator and as a storyteller, like, you look at, like, the harmony that all of a sudden the city that's normally in chaos works in, and it's, like, it's kind of inspiring. Like, you know, you go down to the Rockaways, like, I said, I was in Breezy Point, and as soon as you're done helping one person in the house, you move on to the next house, and everyone's just helping out. And there's kind of, like, this whole, like, you know, wow, why don't we act like this more during regular times instead of, you know, in times of crisis? But, you know. And again, as soon as everything goes back to normal and we can get the chance to fuck each other over, we'll take it.
And you know what? I just got to ask you then, is there any chance that there could be inspiration, or you think a good, maybe it's you, maybe it's somebody else, but a good fictional story in comic book form could be told within this setting?
Yeah. I mean, there's room for story everywhere. I mean, you can't go around and not hear unbelievable stories of jubilation or woe or anything in this current, like, storm. Like, you talk, like I said, just talking to people. Like, my friend who got out the next day, because he ended up running to a condo and getting to, like, the fifth floor so he wouldn't drown or get carried away in the water, literally, like, was telling me the story the next night over, like, a case of beer. And he was just telling me all these horrible things he saw and all these crazy, awesome things he saw, and, you know, people taking their boats, like, you know, little, like, Zodiac boats. I don't know if you know what those are, but, you know, ones that they would take out fishing or whatever, and total strangers are just, you know, putting on wetsuits and getting in Zodiacs and trying to see dogs and kittens and this and that and people. And, you know, there's definitely a story to come out of it, if multiple stories. I shouldn't even just say one.
Now, I got to ask you this, though. You don't have internet, and with everything that's going on, how far along was Scam, and has it kind of affected I don't know, your publication schedule, affected your work that way, or certainly it would have affected, I imagine, any way that you would have promoted the product and that type of thing? Like, how has it had an effect on your work life and your, because that's your other baby?
Yeah, it's going to delay Scam number 3 probably by, like, 2 weeks. So, I mean, it's not horrible, but it's definitely something that affected it. But, you know, like, I talked to Tyler from Comics Tribe, and I'm like, you know, I got friends who don't have a house, they're living with me. I got my brother-in-law, sister-in-law, they don't have electric and gas. They're living with me. I have, you know, friends that are trying to get everything out of their house. I'm over there, and, you know, the next day we're literally, you know, shoveling 4 feet of sand that are now in front of their house to try to get to the house. It's something that has affected Scam, unfortunately. But, you know, and also my colorist is New York-based. Chris Sotomayor is New York-based, so... and my letterer, Jerron Bennett, he's in New Jersey. So everyone that's on the Scam team has kind of been affected by the storm in, unfortunately, a negative way. But, well, there's no real positive way to be affected by it. But,
no.
So there's going to be a little bit of a delay, which is something I really fought hard to not have happen. But, you know, Mother Nature has her own plans. So, again, only a few weeks, nothing like Image United, but it will... It will be out.
How about Scam after that?
So what does it matter? Chris isn't going to read it anyway, so it's not like he cares.
Not really.
But,
you know,
we'll get there. Just hold back a little bit longer, Chris.
All right, I'm just saying. Just saying.
Okay. So after we, you're going to be about 2 weeks late. Is the other show, is our next number 4 going to be back to the original schedule, or is that going to go back a month? Is it affecting then? Because
I think we're going to move it back a month just so we can, you know, kind of keep things on a somewhat spaced level. I mean, it's only 5 issues. It's not like it's, you know, a monthly where every month would then be thrown off afterwards. So this way we just finish up with 5 strong and then go on from what we have planned after that. So this will be, you know, it'll still be in, I think it'll be out the end of December, number 3, and then number 4 will be out in February or March. We have to work with Diamond and Previews first to get the actual release date.
And Comics Tribe is building a little momentum as well, because it was in it, issue number one of the Red 10 is scheduled for release in December, and then in January the Standard is coming out. Wasn't that it?
Yeah, we're rolling out the books.
So,
you know, it's cool.
Those will be coming out on their nice regular schedule, as far as you know.
Yeah. Those books are done. Those books are 3 issues deep done, and there's not going to be any interruption with them at all.
Okay. Okay. The other thing that's happened then, kind of in your world then, since then, this all went on with there was an election going on. Did that kind of affect as well? Kind of like how did that kind of play into the world of New York with all this other crap happening?
I don't think it played in more than anywhere else. I mean, it's a presidential election. It's a big deal. And I'm a little bit of a political junkie. So I love to watch the political game. I was watching every debate with popcorn and a beer.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like a prize fight. And just really, really interested in the outcome of it and seeing where it would go. And really, actually, this is the first time as an American, and maybe it's just because I'm getting older and I'm noticing more things, but this is the first time, and I would love to hear you guys' take on it, because I don't know what it's like to look from another country on America. You know, if you're as inundated with the political rhetoric as we are, and the kind of, you know, for lack of a better use, the wrestling style promotion where it's like slamming each other. Like, I don't understand. To me, I was ashamed. Like, I'm starting to get ashamed of all these political ads that are like, you know, there's a vibe down here of pretty much both parties saying, well, if you elect one or the other person, the country's going to end and the world is going to end. And this is the end of your country as you know it, if you elect Mitt Romney or Barack Obama. And I don't know. I've just never been a fan of like a fear tactic when it comes to government. I mean, I don't know. What did you guys think of the election?
I do know that you were having a little bit of an exchange with Keith, Cub Reporter K, other We Talk Comics host on Twitter about this. So I figured it might be something you'd have some interest in talking about a little bit. I know it's something I definitely want to talk about. But Chris, I'm going to let you, you got some thoughts you might want to throw into Joe there about that?
Yeah, actually in Canada, we have laws that they're forced to be polite, which are absolutely as ridiculous as it sounds. Impossible to enforce, really strange. But once again, we don't have a two-party system, so really our politicians spend a lot of time just sort of fighting down the wackadoos and stuffing embarrassing things in their closet. By the time you guys actually have debates and things, you don't have quite the landmines that we do in Canadian politics. Unfortunately, every election we have Klan members coming out, and it's kind of scary.
That's fantastic. I don't know why you didn't talk that down. That'd be amazing. But my thing is, do you have third parties? Because is there like I really feel stupid getting into this and not brushing up on my Canadian politics to know better, but I'm a devout believer in the fact that the United States two-party system is unbelievably broken.
Oh, it is.
And I don't like a two-party system.
No, it is.
And it to me, I'll be quite honest with you. Like, I didn't vote for either candidate because I could not see either candidate in either. I saw the flaws in both. You know what I mean? Like, I can go on and on, and I have with people who are devout. Oh, if you don't vote for Mitt Romney, you know, Obama's spending is going to bankrupt this country. And then on the other side, you know, well, if you vote in Mitt Romney, you're voting in the you know, the rich elite white guy who wants to hold everyone down. What I don't get is, and this is across every fucking country, what is the wrong thing about being rich? Doesn't everyone want to be rich? Isn't that the hope? That all of a sudden you buy a lotto ticket and you get rich. Like, all money does is make things easier for people. That's all it really does. So then by that standard, we shouldn't have elected any fucking president because they're all fucking rich. You know, like, I've never seen a homeless guy run for president and win. Like, these guys all have money. Like, guess what? Barack Obama, he's not poor. Now, I understand that the difference between him and Romney is a couple hundred million dollars, supposedly, but I mean, you know, I just don't understand why this whole rich thing. And in the same respect, you go with people who hate Obama. Obama's a socialist, and he wants, no, what he's trying to do is give people basic health care, which is pretty much something that everyone needs. You have the right to come to a country, to work in the country, live in the country, love the country, and actually be healthy and taken care of by the country. Like, that's not insane. But watching these two people pick fights with each other over the most asinine things in the world is just, I don't know. I might have to go to England.
I can't even imagine what it would be like having to take in my finances if I needed to go to the doctor. It's just something you do. You go to the doctor when you're sick, and they don't charge you.
No, exactly.
Yeah, well, I will say this. We've never had that. So I understand the pros and cons of Obama's health care plan. I think its intent is good. I think its economics are not. Which I think is, to me, a lot of problems with Obama. I don't think people who realize what he's doing now, what effect that's going to have down the line. Because at a certain point, unemployment is going up in this country. Even though it's down from a percent, but it's at like 8 or 9% unemployment. As unemployment goes up, you have less people pretty much, you know, paying taxes, paying into the government, and government's expanding. So, you know, like with Obama's healthcare plan, the billing and the paperwork, for lack of a better term, is going to be taken care of by a built-up IRS. So we're boosting the IRS, which is a federal, you know, a federal company or a federal program. So the IRS is now going to take that over. So you are inflating the government because the government is doing that now. So instead of sending that off to private firms, you're having the IRS do it. Now you're going to add X amount of jobs to the IRS, which is, you know, in the hundreds of thousands, and then that's another cost to the people. So there is something that's off economically to his plan, but the intent is right. But if we didn't have such a viciously opposed two-party system that the two of them don't want to compromise because it comes across, I think, to them like weakness or a falter in your party, then you could really get the two together, sit down and talk about, okay, well, let's agree that we should all give health care to our citizens, and then let's go about the best way of doing it. And I think also the biggest thing, and I'll finish my rant, is that you never want to hear that you kind of have to do something. You never kind of want to hear that, oh, you have to give something up. And I think that there's a truth to the fact that, you know, we're going to have to suffer. You're going to have to give up a little bit more money. You're going to have to give up a little bit more whatever to get these benefits now, you know, for the betterment of the society and the country. But, you know, who knows? I'm just a fucking cartoonist, illustrator, drawing a book. So who am I to say I have the answers? However, I will be running in 2016. So... I have that.
Oh man, I could go off on this. So you just put about 47 subjects that I want to talk about on the table on that. And when I look at that two-party system here, I think that the problem I see, I mean, there's a lot of it, and you covered a lot of it there. I mean, you talk about how there is no willing to work with each other. I mean, everybody gets everybody else is trying so hard to keep the other people out of power, out of, it seems, greed, instead of once they're in power themselves, looking to do what's the best interest of the country and work with the other person to find the compromise. And they're absolutely, I mean, it's really just seems, I mean, I look at this, the failures of much of what Obama is, and I think a lot of it is simply because they tried so hard to make him fail instead of trying so hard to work with him to see what he could do. It just seems absolutely ridiculous. I found myself very, very invested on the election night, much more so than I expected to be. And I mean, I think most Americans, it seems to me, are fiscally conservative and socially liberal. I'm probably more socially conservative or socially or fiscally social and socially social, whatever, you know what I'm saying, liberal. Just in both.
I hope someone does.
Yeah, yeah. Both fiscally and socially, I'm probably more sit on that side. Whereas in my youth, actually, I would have been the opposite. I was actually very conservative. And as I've grown older, I've kind of evolved and changed that. But it comes down to me again, that you talk about the two-party system. It just seems to me it's that America likes theater so much. And so the debates and the news system, I mean, I'll recall, I mean, it was Jon Stewart, I think it was probably about 2005, 2000, something like that, when he went on CNN, and they were expecting him to tell jokes, and he was on that Crossfire show, and he literally looked at the two hosts and said, "I'm not here to tell jokes. I'm here to tell you guys that you're harming the country because you're so busy sitting here trying to put on theater and trying to attempt to, make each other look foolish, that nobody's actually willing to debate and learn and grow with each other and listen to each other's point of view and help find solutions. I mean, you're actually harming the country." And he came out there and he was not funny and he was very serious and he said that. And that seems to me like that's the issue. I mean, you guys love theater there so much that and not to say that they don't in other parts of the world that we don't here, but I mean, your election process, I mean, this election's over. Hasn't somebody started running for the new presidency already? Like, it's crazy. I mean, here, once an election goes a little bit differently, instead of it being set on a schedule, the prime minister will declare an election. He'll usually do it when he's ahead in the polls. But once he does it, it becomes a six-week cycle. And from 6 weeks from the time he declares it to the time that the actual election takes place, I mean, 6 weeks, you guys are on 60 years, it seems, you know, the campaigning goes on.
You're not wrong, but you know what it is too? I think it just has the air of, you know, okay, what's next? Like, because for some reason, you know, the Congress got elected, but pretty much the same Congress.
Yep.
So you put Obama right back in, and you put a Congress right back in that blocked Obama. So, you know, I think people look for who's the next people that are going to run. Now, I don't disagree at all about your theater comment. I'm just saying, like, from a political-minded person, my issue now is like, okay, well, we know we're not going to have anything done for the next 4 years because we got the same idiots in the place. And I shouldn't even say idiots. That's a little bit derogatory and negative of me to say. But unless these people learn how to work together again, you're going to have the same stalemate you had for the last 4 years. And tell me right now, as an elected official, how do you help the country in that way? How are you telling me you're really working for your constituents and for the people when you don't have the people in mind?
The second they get in there, instead of sitting there and working for their constituents and trying to do what's best, instead they spend the next immediate moment going, now how do we keep those guys from getting more seats? That's the attitude.
It's true. And that's what sucks about the two-party system. It really does.
Now,
that you have two people that don't even get to express their own thoughts inside the party. Especially like a Romney and an Obama, once you get put on the big scale presidential thing, I mean, John, there's no better, you know, recent example than John McCain. John McCain in 2008 was a fucking hero. He was a human Rambo. The man was an unbelievable soldier that then went on to a political career, you know, with questionable merit. But as he got put into the presidential role, you couldn't believe that this guy got put out there and painted as the evil white, you know, Republican guy.
Yeah.
against Barack Obama and the promises of world peace and working together and all this stuff. And it's great to hear it said, but it didn't happen because people just, you know, and again, maybe it's to your theater analogy, they like to put people up as characters and then from those characters define the rest of the election and even define their presidency. You know, and it's not really fair, and it's, you know, it's kind of disheartening. Like I said, the more I'm, you know, getting into understanding all the politics and even, you know, with, you know, Mitt Romney, I don't know if you saw it, his five-part economic plan that he had outlined on his website. You know, you go and you look at it and you read it and you try to be an informed, voter and citizen, and you look at that stuff and you're just like, I don't see how this exactly works. Okay, I understand both candidates. Here's what you should say. We want to make the country a better place. We want to make the country have more jobs so more people can work. And all the rhetoric that's just what everyone's going to say anyway. We want more jobs so we can have more money, so we can buy more things, so we can be more happy, so we can be nicer to each other, so we can raise our kids, blah, blah, blah. It's pretty much a fucking sound loop that they all run anyway. But if you notice in the last 4 years that I'm fighting, you get nothing done, then why just not do that? Why go right back to it, which is what's going to happen, unfortunately.
Well, doesn't a lot of this come down to the media? I mean, isn't the media the ones who lets people down, that doesn't inform people? Isn't the fact that there was a poll done showing that the people that watch The Daily Show were actually more informed on the subjects than people who watch CNN? Isn't that the most frightening thing you can possibly hear?
Yeah, I don't doubt it.
Oh, could you imagine? Here, how about the people who watch Fox News?
Well, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but you're absolutely right. And listen to me. I have friends that are Fox News zombies that have literally come out screaming to the hills that a Republican will never be elected again because two terms in a row, a Democrat won, and oh, that's it. The tides have swung, and Democrats can't come out. Democrats are going to always win this country, and blah, blah, blah. And it's really ridiculous that people associate themselves so close. And this is my opinion again. This is all either worth shit or worth something. It's insane to me that people tie themselves to a party when they don't tie themselves to a person or an ideal. If you yourself are a good human being, you try to, you know, earn your living, raise your kids right, take care of what's yours, that's the goal in life. Now, don't get me wrong, in a population of hundreds of millions of people, you're going to have scumbags. You know what I mean? I'm probably on the border of being a scumbag myself.
Oh, you're a New Yorker.
Exactly, this entire state. But, you know, I don't mean it's a tri-state area, so that's okay. But no, my idea is, you know, there's certain inalienable rights that they talked about in the Constitution that still stand up today, even though people want to make it sound like an antiquated, you know, piece of paper. Life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, that's stuff that all of us have the rights to do. Now, you know, you want to start getting into nitty-gritty of things. People should have to earn their stay. They should have to earn the right. Just because you were born here and a citizen does not mean you're better than someone who comes from another country and works their ass off to get citizenship. And there's this whole kind of, I don't want to say divide in the country because we're a nation of immigrants, but there's this divide of people who, you know, say like, oh, well, you know, people want Obama in because he's going to give everything away to people who don't deserve it. And that's not entirely true because the people who are here don't deserve it. You know, like there's a whole thing that when you start trying to just encompass an entire population into two parties, that just does not work. And I really hope that at the end of these 4 years, if Obama and this Congress can't do anything again, that really people start to look at stuff. And I don't discount what the Daily Show does, because I've heard people say, oh, the media is a liberal machine to reelect Obama. And the truth is, when Romney came out in that first debate, if anyone saw it, Romney came out and stood his ground and looked a little bit better than the president, to which everyone made fun of the president on the Colbert, on the Daily Show. They you know, chastised him as looking like he was sleeping. They made fun of him. Like, that's what I call fair. They brought up, you know, Romney and some, you know, mistruths and on both sides, but they did report correctly. They did report honestly, like aside from jokes and humor. So they were giving out information. But when you are so party heavy, like Fox News, where it's all Republican and it's pushing that agenda, and they skew the news for that, then it's kind of wrong.
Now, it seems to me like everybody should be a registered independent. And then from there, choose on the candidate they believe is best for themselves and their neighbors. I mean, it does seem ridiculous. I mean, I like how it's Jesse Ventura, and he might be a crackpot, and hell, he is, but he says the two party system it's like two gangs in Los Angeles, the two most powerful gangs in the world or in the area, and nobody else can get in, and they'll kill you before they let you get a chance, and it just does seem utterly broken.
Yeah, it's a system that I'm really just not a fan of. And you know what it's gonna take? It's gonna take someone like I don't know if you remember it, like Ross Perot years ago. But not Ross Perot. It's gonna take someone who's got charisma, because you can say whatever you want. You come down to a popularity contest.
Yep.
People like you. People do not like you. Because for the most part, Mitt Romney did not relate to, I think they said Latinos and women were a big.
Well, no,
failed majority.
At the end of the day, no woman is going to sit there. I don't give a damn if that woman goes to their church and says whatever, and she's you know, fiscally conservative or whatever. At the end of the day, I don't think any woman's, most women, 99% of them are going to sit there and go, I'm okay with letting somebody else tell me what I want, can and can't do with my body. And these type of things, you know, at the end of the day, they do make a difference.
Yeah, they absolutely do. But that's, you know what, you, I mean, again, that's towing a party line. Now, I know Mitt Romney was Mormon, I believe, but it doesn't really matter what a person's, you know.
But they do, though. I mean, that
he might have been like.
I mean, the Tea Party is. But here's the thing. I mean, the conservatives.
They have to tow a party line.
The conservatives, yeah. They do tow that party line. And you know what? There is a base that will go out there and will vote for you then. But I mean, Romney lost the vote to Obama within the Catholic religion. And that's phenomenal.
Hello?
Yeah, it was Mo's internet there.
I'm sorry. Are you there, Joe?
Unbelievable. Yeah, I'm here. I hear you in the phone.
Okay, did you hear what I said?
No, I didn't.
Sorry. What's really unbelievable is that Obama actually won the Catholic vote over Romney. If you really think about that, I mean, that seems to be your most conservative base, you know, group for the Republicans. And yet he actually won that. That to me is, it just says, I don't know if you can make any more guesses about what's going to happen in a two-party system or what people are voting on. I mean, we are, people's society's values are changing all the time and they are evolving. And the idea that simply two parties completely fit into both of these, into everybody's values, is ridiculous, because people are bound to have opinions that don't fit into either one.
On the other hand, yeah. We're going to have the marijuana party win one day. And then our country's screwed.
Yeah, it could happen in Canada.
And I'm not actually, I'm pro legalization, but when the marijuana party wins an election, we're a completely ooped in every other way.
That's true. And that's probably going to happen.
Legalized first stuff, of all, but it's like, wow.
But that will be the first party that's actually a party. That's all I will say. That will be a party. I will gladly be a part of that party.
I want to come back to the media.
Because you won't get anything done, but your entire country will be the greatest time ever.
You know what? I want to come back here a little bit to the talk about the media, because the reason I do, and of course, this has been great comic book talk so far, but hopefully everybody's enjoying themselves listening. But anyway, so Four Arguments for Elimination of Television is a book written in 1978 by Jerry Mandar. And I read this book back in, I believe 1998, 20 years after. And he was talking in the book about how Kennedy, through television, defeated Nixon. And I was seeing at the same time the parallels between why it was that that Dole was losing to Clinton at the time. So, you know, this book basically says, in the end of the day, television is going to ruin us, and it's not because of the mindless commercials and this type of thing. It's because at the end of the day, people's perceptions of what is and isn't important will be skewed by visuals and little things, essentially, that will negatively affect society. And I think this is what we come back to it down to again with the media and with the television. I mean, this book is he was a procrastinator, because it is, like I say, I mean, there is absolutely no doubt that the news never gets reported anymore. Simply the news that they think will get them ratings. And that's not in the best interest of the country. And you know what? You talk about Fox, and Fox is terrible. I tell you what, and like I say, I'd be socially and fiscally liberal myself. But nevertheless, I'm watching MSNBC, and I'm disgusted by those assholes. I think they're even worse than Fox, and therefore the liberals. I mean, they're disgusting.
Yeah, but, you know, they both are. Like you said, and I don't disagree, but at the same point, it's what works and what's not. It's sensationalized. That's all it is. But, you know, the sad thing is that there are, unfortunately, a lot more people that galvanize the political belief because of that. You know what I mean? Like, you look at it and you go, that's just insane, and you put a rational truth to it, whereas other people don't. That's the scariest thing possible. Like, I couldn't tell you how many people I know or I've spoken to or whatever that, you know, literally, you know, sound like they're recording Fox News and just playing it out their mouth, or, you know, or MSNBC. And, you know, I think you really have to look at stuff and form your own opinion. And if you don't fit into both camps, that's okay. You know what I mean? Like, if your belief is that, you know, and this is just getting heavy, if your belief is that abortion is wrong, and that's your belief, but you believe that women should have the right to, you know, do it with their own body. So if your daughter gets pregnant, you're not going to let her get an abortion, but you can't speak for someone else, you know? Same thing with gay marriage. People make a big thing about gay marriage, you know, in this country. I don't understand why you would want to suppress a population from being able to do something. Haven't you learned anything of the American history that the more you suppress a population, the more they fight back against it until they finally get it? Like, you know, and it's not like this, you know, and the stupidest conversation for that stuff is, oh, well, then people are going to start fucking mutes and they're going to start fucking marrying.
That's the dumbest goddamn.
Shut the
fuck
up.
I hate that argument.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I get pissed off.
If that's your fucking argument, you have nothing to speak about. You shouldn't even be in a conversation. But the worst thing is, in this, you know, in America right now, I think, is that there's really no open dialogue back and forth on political beliefs. It's when you don't believe with someone politically, you are defied against that person. You are now standing against that person. Whereas the truth is, we all want a good life. Let's try to work together to get it the best way we can. That's the truth of what this country should be. That's what a president should really be about, uniting people. And I understand politics are hard, and I've never done it. Again, I will bone up to my run in 2016.
Well, you know what? I guess I'm gonna. I guess, Joe, it sounds to me like I'm gonna have to move to the States and be your vice president. I'm gonna have to be your VP.
Listen to me.
Because
the Mojo ticket in 2016 is gonna be hot.
The Mojo ticket. No, absolutely. And you know what? Again, I think we've done a pretty good job here as Canadians talking politics with the American. That's not bad job. What do you think, Chris?
Oh, yeah, we watch more American politics than Canadian politics.
Because it is entertaining. Canadian politics is dry. You guys are the.
Oh, and let's not forget, in order to run for government in Canada, you have to be bug nuts ugly. I think it's a law. I mean, that's how correct.
Well, you did say that. Well, yeah, so they got to be Canadian. Yeah, I got it. Yeah, there's no problem there. That's okay.
Go fuck yourself, Joe. All right.
That's okay.
All right. Okay, we're moving on. It's good talk, though. I like that. All right, I'm guessing we'll revisit politics in a future Mojo. I think we're going to have to. Moving on, though. We didn't even talk about Linda McMahon and the bullshit she did.
Yeah, man, they just piss money away. They just piss CM Punk's T-shirt money away on constantly trying to get
in losers
to that Senate. She wants it bad.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
She wants it bad. Unbelievable.
All right, well, let's move on here. Let's talk a little bit about Scam. First off, we're going to obviously talk about the actual book itself here, but because Chris had his points that he wanted to bring up to you. But I just want to know, now that you've had two issues come out, how's the sell-through on the second issue compared to the first issue? Is it staying pretty strong? Obviously, number ones are always going to be stronger, but now that we finally – I mean, Jesus Christ. I mean, I got my Scam a year ago. A year later, I got number two, but it wasn't like that for everybody.
Yeah, no. Well, you know what happened? It was because of the Diamond release, which we've spoken about before. So, you know, Diamond was
killing me, though. You know how bad I was? I'm on Team Pint. I kept on waiting to see what the hell you were talking about. And by the way, it was awesome.
I'm glad you liked it. So, yeah, but, you know, the point originally was, you know, we were going to have the next issue come out, you know, bi-monthly. And then when we spoke with Diamond was like, nope, you can't release anything else. So we didn't know if that would, you know, burn a bridge with readers who had picked up that first issue, or if we would be able to kind of continue to get some momentum. But the sales for number one were better than number two, you know, obviously. But, you know, we're happy, man. We're a no-name company, you know, trying to make a little foothold in the industry. And, you know, Kyle James says it the best. It's war. It's a war field, being an independent comics. And, you know, you just got to be ready for the long haul. So, That's our plan. So, you know, we have an excellent strategy for all our books rolling out along with Stan. And then, you know, hopefully we get enough people to give us a chance. Well, we get enough people to give us a chance that we start to get some bigger momentum.
You know, the thing about it is that you probably get a better idea of how well the book's going to hold up and what the true sales are like with a number two than you do with a number one, obviously, right?
Yeah, number one is just everyone wants a number one. Number two and number three onward are really how can you move the dial with, you know, promotions or this, with that. I mean, I'll tell you right now, our number three was good because of the cover. The cover has character crosswords on it, and, you know, because he's, a mask superhero-type character, you know, that cover got response. So, you know, like, it's just interesting. Like I said, we're learning as we go. So it's interesting how all of a sudden, you know, a book that's based on, you know, superpowered Con Man, and then once you throw in the mask character, you see a bump in relevance and people in comments and looking.
Now,
we'll see.
That's unfair, because I got to say, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of the book. I like the book, but man, crosswords. I freaking love this guy, man.
Wait a second! I thought you were anti-scam. What is this? What?
I like him, man. In fact, I saw him and went, "Oh my god, Joe Mulvey for the second edition of the Oxyman hardcover volume 2. We're gonna have a
Oxyman
crossover
hardcover.
I want it
really, Chris. The Oxyman hardcover. That'll be a whole other
oxymoron.
Fucking book. That'll be a good one too.
Yes.
Oxymoron
versus crosswords. I'm there for that, man. I
will. Right, well, we'll try to get that together. You gotta hit up Tyler on Twitter and tell him that.
You hinted to me that there's something to do with Pint and crosswords and these characters. Is you have some plans kind of in the back of your mind?
Yeah. Well, I will say that there is a possibility of crosswords getting possibly a one shot or a series next year. We're not saying definitely. We got to see how schedule works out, but that's something that's being spoken about.
Oh, cool, cool.
So we'll see. Like I said, the response to him and just the visual look kind of went over pretty well. So we're gonna finish up this miniseries, and then we're gonna go and see exactly how popular, you know, some of the characters can be.
And you know what? That's the thing. It's like the Red 10. Oxymoron didn't play a huge role in there in the first issue, but he's the one with the hardcover. There's just something about the character that people tend to gravitate towards. And crosswords, I mean, as soon as I saw him, I pretty much thought that too. Like I said, I'll always be on Pint. The guy drinks a lot.
Yeah, did you like the coming out party for his power?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that should be my power.
Who doesn't want the power to drink a lot and get stronger?
Yes.
Every time
fucking
you drink?
Fucking awesome. Chris would be the strongest man in the world.
It's been the power I've wanted since college. Seriously.
I don't drink that much, man.
All right, so Pint's 97
seconds.
Calendar.
Let
That's
me open
fine.
A beer.
All right. Well, let's get on to the big Chris Beck, Joe Mulvey debate here then. And the funny thing about this is I've always wanted to get you guys together on the show because personality-wise – I just thought you guys would hit it off great. And then Chris is going on in our show where we're talking about reviewing the reviewers, and he starts talking about whether or not he can say what he really thinks about with Scam because he's not a big fan of it, and which is hilarious to me. I got to say, Joe, I mean, I've read the first two issues now. I had waited. We got a preview from you, a PDF preview, but I wanted to get a hard copy. So I sat down with the issue number one and issue number two, and I sat down and I read it. In about a half hour there. I'm a slow reader, and I really took in the book. And, of course, issue one's extra long, too. And I thought they were great together. And now I can't wait to get all five and read it in one go. I'm probably not going to read it monthly from here on in because there's so many characters. I think, for me, I'll be able to flow – the story will flow better and work better for me in five issues.
In trade.
Yeah, a trade paperback form or the miniseries, completed miniseries. And, of course, we get it from Alpha Comics here in Calgary, who I know has been really supportive to you guys. And he said that he was really happy with the sales of number two as well.
Alf has been great. They're a great track.
Yeah, they are. He's Chris over there is awesome. That's another Chris. That's a good dude. As well as Chris.
I'm awesome.
Yeah,
too.
You're awesome. Then there's Chris, the Comic Canuck at Comic Book Therapy. He's also, enjoying your book now, too. And
that's it. From now on, call me Wolfgang. I'm tired of this shit.
You know what? It rolls off the tongue. Wolfgang is a name more people need to have.
That's fucking right. All right. But anyway, so I can't even remember what I was saying about this. But yeah, for me, I mean, I think it's a great book. I think I could see the evolution in your art. I'm really a big fan of your dialogue. In my last podcast, I talked a little bit about dialogue and good dialogue compared to bad dialogue, and actually used your book as an example because like everybody talks organically and flows nicely. And it's like when I'm reading your dialogue, it feels to me like the same as when I'm talking to you. There's nothing forced there. It's just a natural thing. I really like your dialogue. And so I'm really enjoying the book, but just because there's so many characters month to month, and you do have a lot of guys out there and throwing a lot out, and there's going to be a lot of twists and turns, I think it'll work better in a trade or completed miniseries form. Do you kind of understand my point on that? Or?
I do, but obviously as someone who's releasing it monthly, my thing is to hopefully engage you enough that every month the cliffhanger at the end of each issue get you to come back for the next one. So obviously in that regard, I failed because
I don't think you did. I'll be honest with you. If this had been coming out to me monthly, I probably would have been, but since I already waited so long between issue one and two, it's easier for me to do it this way because I did get on before you guys were in Diamond Distribution and got my first issue, you know?
Right.
So I probably just changed.
And I understand it also because we've actually had some reviews and other people say like, the fun part of reading the book to them is, you know what a con artist story is. It's, everything looks like it's, going according to, going against plan. And then at the end, it all comes together and, something good happens. And a lot of people are trying to, and I get people writing me emails like, hey, is this what's going to happen? Hey, is this really what's going to happen? Hey, can you just tell me if I'm on the right path? And is this this? And does this mean that? And it's fun to see people trying to kind of jump the gun and actually no one's gotten it right yet. I've gotten a lot of emails.
The thing is,
so,
the book is a roller coaster in a good way. So I want to sit back and enjoy the ride. I want to sit back and have 45 minutes or an hour and just sit back and enjoy that ride because I know I will.
Yeah, it's gonna be something that I'm definitely proud of. I can the other day I was telling Steve Cole, my editor, the last page in number 3. It's just I can't wait for people to get it because it's like that last page. It's something like I wonder if you saw it coming. I wonder if you see it coming. And every last page or every last scene, anyway, is intended to give you that impactful, like holy shit, I want that next book right now. So that's why, to me, the trade, and I read trades myself. Like I read Morning Glories in trade. There's books I read in trade. I know I'm lessening that effect to myself as a reader because there's something about that, even like a TV show, like, oh man, that TV show's over. Damn it. I want to see the next issue, the next episode now. And to me, that want and wait is part of the enjoyment.
Do you know how many people I know now that will wait till an entire season's worth of a show is on their PVR or until they can go get the DVD or the Blu-ray or whatever? Because
because they don't want that anymore.
I think it's just something that's changed in our society in that we're no longer thinking, I want an instant moment of gratification once a month. We're thinking to ourselves, I want to sit back and at the moment I enjoy something, enjoy it to its maximum potential.
Yeah. And I will say, and I don't disagree, I will say that, like, I'm one who, like, I've never seen Mad Men, I've never seen Breaking Bad, and, these shows that are 3, 4, 5 seasons deep, when it comes time for me to watch them, I can pop it on Netflix, I can pop it on my DVR, and all of a sudden I'm watching them, and I'm exactly that person. I get sucked in. Like, I didn't start watching Lost, the 4th season. So when I put in that first DVD of the first season, I was, like, hooked. I was like, oh my God, I want more. So my intention now is, to you, I hope by the end of that scan trade paperback that you read, or if you read all 5 floppies or whatever you do, I hope that by the end of that, myself, everyone on the scam team and Comics Tribe, garners your interest and enough belief in us to come back and check out more. Like, that's how you build a fan base. You know, you hopefully deliver on a good product, and then you get people to kind of give you a chance coming
Well,
back.
You know what? I'm definitely a Joe Mulvey fan of Joe Mulvey's work, not just a friend of his. I would like to think on the podcast here, but I'm a fan of your work as well, and what Comics Tribe does as well. You know, I like what Tyler does. I like Red 10. I like the Oxymoron. I've read through some of the PDF of that. Once again, I'm waiting to get the hard copy. You know, A Standard is an awesome book. I saw potential in, what was it called? Was it called Runners? Was that the name of the book?
Yeah.
I saw potential in it. I know it didn't quite work out there.
I absolutely hated that one.
I know
one.
You did. I saw potential.
This one, I just kind of.
I know, well, Chris. I know. It's not about you. It's about me. But,
Oh, I forgot. This is the Mo Blow show.
Yes, I know. At this point in time, Chris is thinking to himself, I want to say what I want to say. Mo, will you please get your mouth off with Joe's cock? And I will in just a moment. But, you know, Epic was another book that I thought was really, really good, too, and I want to see more of. So, I mean, I'll probably be getting the floppies, and I'll get the trade from you, you know, because I'm trying to support my friend here. And that's my intention. But I also enjoy the work, so I don't mind doing it. And I feel the same way about any book. Almost every book that I get nowadays is not just because it's a good book, but because I personally want to support the people that put out those good books. It feels important to me. Now, Chris, now we're getting on to you. Now, given all this buildup, it's finally your moment. Say what you have to say to the most dangerous man in comics.
Let's have it, Wolfgang. What do you got?
Well, first things first. Now, there's a difference between a review and critique. I gave a review, and I just said, you know what? I would, if it was my money, I would not spend my money on your book. And I had some specific problems with it. Number one, you mentioned there's a lot of characters. And
right.
I just wanted to ask you, is there any one character you wanted to spend more time with, but you didn't get a chance to, considering the constraints of what you're trying to do?
Not in the five-issue mini. Not in the whole five issues. Because it's a con man story, and no one con man really does everything. You know, like in a lot of con man stories, yeah, you have the more popular guys, the, you know, the people who play bigger and smaller roles. But I'm trying to actually buck that. So hopefully by the end of these five, like when I'm just going to use Ocean's 11 for an example. You know, the remake, the George Clooney, Brad Pitt ones. When you see those, you really don't ever get that much of a look into people's lives. So you're more invested in the con and pulling off the con than you are in any validation for the characters. So, yeah, you really hope they get their revenge and Danny Ocean has a wife. But beyond that, everyone else is just, you know, pretty much a piece of the puzzle. And you really have no vested interest in them as people, except for the fact that you want to see the villain. Whereas with Scam, if I can kind of try to bounce back and forth and give these characters time and a little bit of depth and a little bit of something else, like that you know, at least you know something about them. You know, from a line of dialogue in this episode issue, you know something about this guy's past and this woman's past and whatever. So right now, no, because I feel like I'm setting it up to deliver the way I want. But I do think that especially with the way I wrote it, that the first issues definitely seem to push through with more characters. Me as the leader, but they push in with more interest in his past and in ties to anything he has. So I'll say hopefully, and again, we can talk about this when the series is over, but right now I would say no.
Okay. No, just using your example of Ocean's 11, Danny Ocean, you do know more about him than any other characters. Unfortunately, in your book, I seem to bounce around. Oh, I like this guy, I like that guy, and at the end, I feel unsatisfied. I don't have emotional attachment to anyone, and I want to develop them because, as Mo said, the dialogue is spectacular. And you know, just as I'm getting into somebody, I'm onto somebody else. Oh, look, there's a car of five guys. Am I going to have to remember these freaking names now this time around? But that's me. Okay. Second problem I have, and once again, this is bordering on critique, which I don't really want to get into too much. I just want to say that I how can I phrase this?
You're really slowing down here. If you either you got to speed up the drinking or whichever way you got to go. But you don't have to babysit. I'm a big boy. You're not going to offend me by saying anything. So if you're slowing down to try to you know, kind of pussyfoot words, you don't have to. You can be as blunt as you like.
Establishing shots. At no time do I get a sense of where anybody is in a freaking room.
Really? Are you looking at like any specific issue, like one or two?
I was looking at two actually, where we transition from the house with the little girl right into the strip club, and I have no sense. And then we're back on the top of the building, and then we're back into something else, and that takes place over four or five pages. I have no sense of where anyone's standing in the room. Time frames jump, and I have trouble following it. And I mean, Mo will back me up. I've read a lot of comic books, and I don't have this problem often.
Right.
Chris, well, actually, can I just jump in? One question. I know, Chris, that I have your copies of Scam 1 and 2. And you've read both of these in PDF format on your computer or your iPad. Do you think that might have something to do with why you're having this issue?
I don't think so, but it could.
Okay, I just wanted to throw that out there.
I would even say I read a fair amount of comics on my iPad. I normally don't have that problem because it's just the storytelling. Like unless there's an issue with the images, that you're looking at them in, because I mean, for the most part, what Chris just said, I'm sorry, Wolfgang just said,
Wolfgang is going to stick.
When Wofgang's going to stick. That's got legs.
I'm okay with that. I always wanted to be named Wolfgang.
Nice.
But it's a manly name. I mean, it comes with a hammer. There's no way that name doesn't. But when you leave True, when he sees his ex-girlfriend, then the next thing you do is you go right into the Al Rocco's house, where the establishing shot is the outside with the military around it. So maybe it's a little bit confusing because it's at the end of a panel, a page, instead of the start of the next. Is that possible? You know what I mean? Like, is it possible that, you know, a lot of times establishing shots in comics, if you look, are pretty much done at the top of pages?
I mean, the True Masters.
Mm-hmm. So you start off in...
The True Masters, I know you studied it more than me as an artist. The True Masters of comic book art, and there's a difference between beautiful art and beautiful comic book art. The beautiful masters of comic book of art understand transitions better than anybody else. I mean, that's what makes them a master.
Yeah, so that's what I mean. And this is a comment I've had with other people. Some people are devout in the belief that you have to have an establishing shot on the top of a page so that you enter, a lot of work with comics is done as you read it, the reader subconsciously. So while what you're not getting is on me as the storyteller.
Yeah, that's true. But Joe, you do have to keep in mind that the person you're talking to here, Wolfgang, not that fucking bright.
No, but that's assumed.
I will take in you on defense, anytime you want, Mo.
Hey, I beat...
That's assumed.
Didn't we do that? Didn't we? Yeah, that's assumed. It's well known. Haven't I beat you every single time we ever played that trivia game in the bar that they do? I think I've never lost to you.
No, you've lost.
Never. Never.
No, you have.
Because you drink more than me, so you're just drunk.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm beating your ass, but nevertheless... what is it called again? I can't remember.
First of all, I don't want to hear anyone cite it for drinking too much. If anything, Mo, you drink too little.
That's probably true. That's probably true. But yeah, I mean, I just gotta say, I haven't had this issue. Just throwing that out there as well. But I guess you're saying that this isn't the first time you've heard it. It's a valid point.
Because listen to me. Everyone's point is valid when they're reading the book. If someone picked up Scan and said, "I just don't like it." You know, I can't even tell you how many books I've picked up that are, people love, and I pick it up and I'm like, yeah, it's just not for me. And that's fine. But if there's a storytelling flaw, like he's saying he doesn't understand, he doesn't understand transitions, then that's an issue storytelling-wise. You know what I mean? Like, I'll be honest with you, you're one of the first people I've heard actually say that. So, and I'm not saying you're wrong, it's right for you. But I haven't had that complaint before. The biggest thing I hear is, there are a lot of characters. There are a lot of characters. There are a lot of characters, and that is true. But in the same in the same aspect, now thankfully that's done. So now here are the characters, and they go the wayside. You know, they go on from this book. So hopefully, if I haven't done the job of transitioning, hopefully I do the thing of unburdening people with having to remember too many names and too many characters and going forward. So hopefully it's a little bit more tighter. But go ahead, number three.
Number three. Last one, and I think this is my major issue. You've made an interesting artistic choice with this. Why did you choose the color palette of a Nicktoon? This has to be the brightest book I've ever seen, never mind for a crime book. Now, I might be bringing my own prejudice in because, you know, if somebody was to pitch me this story, I would definitely want something like Incognito, where the colors are all muted or something. Like, it's a crime story, it's dark, it's gritty. Yet, I mean, a lot of the characters in this book have fluorescent hair, and I'm sorry, that blue suit is god awful.
It's in Vegas.
It's Vegas, baby. That's the god's honest truth.
That's not
Vegas. That is Vegas, sir. I've been to Vegas 14 times. That is Vegas. Vegas is a city of neon, man. It's a city of lights. I'm telling you right now, Google any of the hotels that are there, the Aria, the MGM. The MGM is gigantically neon green, or like a bright forest green.
Chris and I were in Vegas together about 16 months ago. Was it 2 years ago? When was it, Chris?
It's just coming up on two years.
Oh, shit. But anyways, we were in Vegas together. How can you think it's not bright? I mean, was it that you were looking at me the whole time?
No. And I'm just talking about the book. I mean, sure, it's bright, but I mean, yellow hair. It's a bright book, and Vegas has nuance. I can't believe I just said that, but there are nuances there, and it's not even that I don't like your choice. I don't like your choice for your book, for this book.
Yeah, well, we're definitely going to be on opposite sides, because I don't want it to be. I'm not telling the story of Incognito. I'm not telling the story. I'm not telling a story along those lines. My thing is, I want to tell a fun caper story that will have dark tones in scenes. Like, I mean, you know, pretty much the dark tones in Doc's scenes for the first two books, you know, his hair is bright, but it's because there's a spotlight on him. Beyond that, that's some pretty brutal shit. But at the same point, comics to me are, you know, supposed to be a fun kind of, you know, like most said, like a ride. And to me, I didn't want to bog it down by this heavy, monotone color type thing, heavy grays, heavy muddy colors. Because to me, as a graphic artist telling this story, the characters need to stand out. So hopefully, I've done as being different because there's so many of them. Color is a part of that, and color is a big part of Vegas. And I'll just say number three takes part there's a Russian nightclub. So while it's darker, because it's obviously a nightclub, there's still things in it that I've sent color notes to the colors that, like, okay, this is going to be a bright neon, this is going to be a bright purple, this is going to be a dark red, this is going to be a dark green. So on that, that's just, we just differ in, I think, the colors we like for the book.
You know what? I got to say, just jumping in here, I mean, I do understand your point of view, Chris, because it is a bright, bright book, and it does seem to not fit with what you would typically think of with the genre. I just think for the tone, that Mulvey's trying to set a certain tone with Scam, and the color fits the tone. It's not the tone you view for the story, maybe, but it is the tone that he views for the story. And I'm able to accept it as the tone that he's looking for. It is a fun book. Not to say that it is a book that is not quite, it's not a mature reader's book. It's just one step below, though. It's that teen plus. It's that PG, hard PG-13, not quite an R type idea. where it's just far enough.
Right, there will be no cocks in it. No cocks.
No cocks? No. Really?
No cocks and scan.
No cocks and...
Well, you know what? No cocks and scan, but I don't want to ruin it. Surprise possible in the fifth issue. So I don't... It might be cock-free four, cock plus one. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen.
Actually, I noticed you made some points of covering cocks.
I did.
I was going to ask... how about some boobies, man?
Oh, trust me. Wait till three. Like I just told you, it takes place in a Russian nightclub. Strip is galore.
Yeah,
don't
but
you
I
worry.
I mean, we've had ample opportunity so far for in one and two for boobies. No boobies.
Chris is a big
Listen, I mean, we got
fan.
Ample opportunity in every aspect of life for boobies. I can draw boobies right now and just flood my sights with them. You can always draw boobies. They're fantastic. But... At the same time, you've got to pick and choose your tit and tat times, and you know it'll trust me, it'll come.
I'm just
no
saying, boobies page one. No one's ever gone wrong with that formula.
Pretty sure. What's this latest Howard Chaykin book? What's this thing called?
Black Kiss.
Black Kiss. Yeah, it's gone wrong with all its boobies and cock. Let me tell you.
I've
looked at the first two, and let me tell you something. I'm throwing holy water.
Yeah.
On myself after reading those.
Yeah,
things.
I know.
Did you
read that man just does bad things to a penis? I've said this before on a podcast. That man just was. He has had some bad. If I was his penis, I'd be fucking petrified every day.
Yeah, no kidding.
Like, what is he?
Like every single time, if I'm his penis, every single time that guy passes by a blender, I think, oh fuck, here it comes.
Yeah. No, it's. Hey, but you know what? Again, that's the beauty of creator-owned books. Now, Chris, if those are your 3 points, can I ask you some questions?
Sure.
Okay. I'm sorry. We'll see. And I will. I have a buzzer next to me. I will make sure I say the right name. Would you say that as of right now, the overall story interests you or no?
Yes, I would say the overall story interests me. Yes.
Okay. And when you're reading the books, what is it that disinterests you and pulls you out of the story? Like, is it the color? Like, do you see it, you go through a scene and you're like, ugh, the color palette in this scene annoys me, and then it kind of pulls you out of it?
It's the remote control flipping. I'm in one with one character, then I'm with another. The quick changes, back, forth. That and a slight resemblance to the A-Team for some strange reason. But that's just me.
Now, number one, I don't see it. Number two... How could that be a bad thing?
Come on, man.
Now, wait a second.
Team sucked.
18 movie or 18 TV show?
TV show.
You're insulting the 18 TV show? Chris, you're lucky you're so far away from me right now.
Well, it's okay. There's tons of capacity.
Here's a question for you. Quick question for you, Mulvey, as we talk about the 18 TV. How old are you?
I'm 33 years young.
33 years young. Okay, you probably experienced a little bit of 18, but not like me and Chris.
Yeah, no, I've seen it. Like, it was on, it wasn't on live. It was on, like, in reruns when I was a kid. So I've definitely seen
it. You've seen it. Whereas I was a kid, I'm 39. Chris is 40, right, Chris? Are you 40?
Yeah, we're not talking about
Anyways,
it.
Yeah, so, I mean, 18 for us was our youth.
But hold on. Wolfgang is 25.
Wolfgang is 25. So that's
okay. Right.
Yeah, no, I've had people compare it to a few other things, but I mean, like the thing is, I'm just curious to because I don't need people saying, oh, I liked it all the time and all that stuff. I have legitimate, you know, I think Mo just said, my intent is to tell a fun story and hopefully do something different in the con man genre. Because, I mean, con men are a pretty popular thing, like in most other types of media. I've never really seen it done all too well in a comic book.
And I'm so glad that it's not the grim and gritty noir story, because I'm so fucking sick and tired of that. Thank you, Frank Miller, for giving us that.
Yeah, well, my thing is the opposite for the reason of, like, do you remember, like, and this is just me growing up here, there were certain things I watched that I could rewatch and always go back to and always enjoy. For the sake of the story, but also like subtle other things. Like, you know, I could watch like The Goonies as a kid. It wasn't a great movie, but for some reason I just liked it because it had some inventiveness to it and it just hit me at the right
time.
Plus,
it was a great movie.
To me, my intent, to me, it was great when I was a kid because you're connecting with it. To me, there's something about doing a book that people can, you know, like Greg Pak said to me, he's like, don't be offended if anyone ever calls your book fun. Your book is fun. A lot of people try to spin that into a bad thing. But the truth is, like, I wasn't. I'm like, that's what I want to do. I want to make a fun book. I'm not doing Watchmen. I'm not doing, you know, some book that's supposed to change people's minds. I'm doing a book that people can, you know, hopefully when they're done putting it down, they're like, wow, that was a blast. Like, I had a great time in the entertainment medium of comics. And also, when I did Scan, it was for the purpose of, you know, the idea was just something that was with me since I was a kid, if you read the back matter in the first issue. But
yeah, you and your dad were looking around thinking, what if some of these people had superpowers in a casino?
Yeah, we were in Vegas, and that idea stuck in my head as a good idea. And when you go and you speak to other people about comic books, not comic fans, obviously people who don't know what comics really are, you know, people have this thought in their head that comics are Spider-Man, Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, guys in tights, saving damsels in distress, and all this bullshit, that comics really aren't. Don't get me wrong, they can be that way and they can be any story, but to me, I can give people the idea of, hey, X-Men meets Ocean's 11, superpowered con men. Would you watch that? Yeah, they'd watch it as a movie. Yeah, they'd watch it as a TV show. But now if I put that book in their hands and they see guys in suits, ugly or not, that's your call. But if you see people, you know, all of a sudden say, oh, I didn't know that's what a comic book was, I could put those in people who don't read comic book hands and they would get it. And that was also, you know, an intent. Tell just a good comic story, but also have something that I could pitch to kind of broaden a fan base just for comics themselves. And we have a lot of people who are like retailers, like Alpha, and a lot of comic shops that, you know, when they come in and people ask, like, we put up the billboard in Vegas. So when Jay from Maximum Comics has people come in and say, hey, can I pick up the Scan book? He can go, well, if you like Scan, you might also like, you know, X, Y, and Z books. So the intent is also to get people into reading comics. Now, that's a ballsy claim from someone who's, you know, a no-name creator, you know, coming from an up-and-coming company. But, you know, at least the intention is good to spread the love and the word of comics.
And Chris, also, I got to say, if there's one human being that...
Wolfgang,
I got to say, and if there's one human being that I know that would wear this this blue outfit that you're complaining about, it's you.
Oh, come on. I dress stylish. Not everyone can dress in browns and grays all the time like you do.
Yeah, but at least I don't wear the funky hats you wear. What the fuck are you usually thinking?
I like hats.
Not baseball caps. Hats. 2020.
No, but he was honest. He said he likes hats.
My life is a noir movie, man.
All right, and...
Well, Chris, let me...
Go ahead, Joe. You got more questions for Chris.
I do.
It's the debate.
I have 17.
I'm playing Jim Mayer.
We're on three.
It's your turn.
No. There's no debate. There really is no debate. He was very nice. I mean, if I'm trying to get him to the side of buying more Scan, it would, you know, let's get to the end of these 17 points I have. My next one is, what books are you currently reading that get your attention every month when they come out, or every other month, whatever it is? Like, what are some of your favorite books?
Okay, let's go with, you said fun. I think Dial H for Hero is one of the funniest books out today. It's grinny gritty, yet it is out there.
What about Oxyman? Okay, that was pretty fun. Oxyman? Anybody else enjoying that?
I misspoke. Let it go.
No, Invincible, though. Isn't that one of your favorite books as well, Chris?
Yes, it is. I love Kirkman stuff. But
I just got turned on to Invincible, and it's amazing. Like, over the last month and a half, I'd gotten permission requests for Conquest and Kid Invincible or whatever, and I'd never read the book before, and now I'm like two compendiums in, and it's amazing.
What else would be at the top of your pull list there, Chris?
Oh, top of the pull
Peter
list.
Peter Panzerfaust? Or is that Keith?
Peter Panzerfaust?
That's a fun book.
No, I like that. Keith is more of a fan. But definitely
that's a fun
on
book,
top
though.
Of the pile. That is a fun book. I'm actually really digging the Before Watchmen stuff. Really haven't read a bad issue. A lot of mediocre issues, but really enjoying that shit. I read a little bit of manga, but I like Death Note, which doesn't come up too often. I really enjoy that, although it's finished.
How about Batman? Any Batman love or no?
Yeah, I'm a huge Batman fan, but I currently hate Damian, and I don't think we have a strong writing team on any of the books, so I'm not reading any of it.
Really? So the Capullo and Snyder Batman not doing it for you?
You know what? Capullo, I've never dug his stuff. I tried really hard back in the day when he was on Spawn. I believe he did a volume of Sam and Twitch, which I liked, but I thought he was the weakest link in the talent team, and I started to follow Bendis and try to avoid a Capullo as much as possible. I recognize him as a quality artist. I just don't particularly enjoy what he does.
Yeah, I mean, again, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, to me, like, that's one of the best books on the stands. Like, and that's just my opinion, because I do like his style. But I can understand it, because there's tons of popular artists that I look at and I can't get through their book. Like, I mean, I'll be honest with you, I'm not a big fan of, like, painters. Like, I can enjoy Kingdom Come, I can enjoy that kind of stuff, but the other, like, you know, Greg Horn or, like, kind of stuff, I don't connect with it. It doesn't work for me. But I can understand completely someone not liking a style. But, honestly, you're one of the few people I've heard actually say that, because it's been kind of like a big renaissance with the Snyder run.
I'm also one of the people who really don't like Jim.
Okay.
I can't connect with any of his characters or the way he draws any of his characters. But nothing I hope wrong. That answers your question.
Yeah, it does. It does. It does. I mean, you're an all around kind of guy. It's not like you were all for DC, all for Marvel, all for Image. You're kind of like right down the middle where you kind of give any book, you know, a chance. And are you a big, are you a big try something new? Like, does a cover jump out at you and will grab you, or is it more like word of mouth that kind of gets you to buy a comic or give it a chance?
Well, Momo testify this because he's my comic book store guy. I will buy anything with a number one on it.
Chris, I'll just say, one of Chris's big things is he loves to be the guy who discovers a book first.
Okay.
And I mean, do you know how much it pisses me off that Brett found Strangers in Paradise, one of my all-time favorite books, before me?
Yeah, you've never forgiven him for that.
No. I mean, it nags at me because, I mean, I read Strangers in Paradise so often. And every time I pick the book, I think of him and go, fuck that little skinny, balding git.
Well, I'm hoping he doesn't listen to this. Now, Brett's not skinny. He once was. We all once were.
Oh. I don't think I ever was. I was always fat.
Well, since we've known you, yeah. But I've seen your high school pictures. Joe, you still there?
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I was just laughing because Wolfgang just got out of high school, so I don't know what you're talking about. Wolfgang's a 25-year-old buck. Just hopping around.
Did you say buck or something else?
Full of energy.
Did you say buck?
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. No.
Wolfgang has a handlebar mustache.
Fucking right. Yeah, actually. Nice.
Goes all the way around into his mullet. We know it. And his nice big Molson sweatpants.
And you know that guy can be hanging around in Vegas. No problem.
No problem. No problem. No problem whatsoever.
I had a
I didn't know where you went in Vegas if you think it's a dark town. That town is bright.
Yeah, I don't know where he was. He wasn't on the same trip as me.
No, I was just there a few weeks ago myself, like about 2 months ago.
Well, we'll have to go
unbelievable.
Back.
You know what? We have to get a Mo Show trip in Vegas. That's what we have to do.
The three of us will have to hit Vegas together. That'll be fucking awesome.
Live from the strip.
What are you guys doing Wednesday?
All right. Got any other questions?
You know what?
For Wolfgang there?
Hold on. Let's go to Expedia. Well, my thing is, obviously, so you're not a big enough fan of the book that you would want to stick with it. But if it came around in trade, do you think that the first couple of issues interested you enough to check it out and see how it finished?
I'll read Mo's copy.
So that's a no. So that's a Canadian no. It's a nice push-off Canadian no.
I like the book. Is it worth my cash? Probably not. And that was my review. And that's the basis I give any review, is considering that I have the $100 a week to spend on comic books, is it the best bang for my buck? In this one case, I had to say no, thus the negative review.
Right. And it's not really a negative review, to be quite honest to you. It's just that it's not something that stands out worthy of your money. But in the same respect, when it does come to independent creators, comics, like, you know, you said you picked up Peter Panzerfaust. Peter Panzerfaust, you know, and I'm going to say Curtis, I think it's Weeb or Weeby. I'm going to say Weeb. So Curtis Weeb, when you're starting out, if you see that you like a creator's book, you know that and this is just as a creator, because I know this, it depends on you to always kind of give that person a shot. Now, no matter what, you give the book a shot, you don't like it, it doesn't deserve your money. Because no matter what, your money is, you know, you fucking work for that money, and you should spend it any way you like. However, if you were someone else that was just a big two guy, that was, you know, all I buy is, you know, Batman and X-Men, then I would have more of a gripe. But you obviously spend your money with just something that interests you. Instead of going, maybe we can bring this back around to the political debate, instead of going Democrat DC or Republican in Marvel, you literally do open yourself up to third
he's
party.
He's an independent.
So
he's a libertarian.
I've never
the marijuana party. Yeah.
I have never read exclusively one or the other. Marvel was the first introduced me to the comic books, but I think Mo will agree with me here that the independents have always been sort of my bread and butter.
Oh yeah, you love them. Independents, Vertigo, anything. You do like books that are you're not, for instance, you hate Superman. You definitely always go for the books that you are a little more challenging. You're willing to give something a try, and I do think that's the one thing I have to say about Chris. Make no doubt about it, Joe. He read two issues and he gave it a good try. You know, it's not like it just didn't work for him.
And I think
you can say this based on your reviews and based on the feedback you've gotten. Not everything is for everyone, but the majority are enjoying your book, and that's pretty good. I mean, in baseball, if you bat 300, that's a success. It seems to me you're batting in basketball. If you're shooting 500, that's a success. If you're a quarterback, if you're throwing for 65%, that's a success. So everything's relative. And it seems to me like you're having generally a fairly good success rate.
Actually, let's solve another fight me and Mo have had. Joe, have you read Axe Cop from Dark Horse?
Yes, I have.
What is your opinion? Because I loved it, and Mo,
I hate it.
Didn't get what it was about.
Yeah, it sucked.
I wouldn't say I loved it, but I did like it. Like, I liked the energy and the world it created and how it kind of, you know, it's kind of batshit crazy. Like, it feels like something like a young Grant Morrison kind of.
I read it twice and masturbated in between.
Okay, Chris, I masturbated.
You liked it that much?
But here's the thing. I masturbate in between every book I read, so that doesn't take much. That's not.
Sure. Now, let me ask you a question. What was it that made you masturbate? Was it the axe? Just because that's like the national tool of Canada? Was it the book or just your general enthusiasm for it?
It was the fact that I had a surprise almost every panel. I had no idea where it was going, and it would throw me in a direction, and every panel I went, yeah, that kind of makes sense in a childlike way, and I didn't see it coming. I just love that naive spirit behind the book. It just got me going. It got me excited about comic books. Like, I hadn't ever seen this before, and I want to see more.
Well, do you think that is, and X-Cop is a fun book, but do you think that's got to be why you like independent comics, right? Like, and I'm saying independent, but I mean, I'm big too, because I think we all are comic fans long enough to know that, you know what, oh, this big earth-shattering thing that's going to happen in X-Men or Spider-Man or the Avengers, it won't really last. But you have a chance for some really weird, great, innovative kind of stuff when you read outside the main big two. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's, like, for every reason you just said you don't know what to expect, that's why I love Image titles, Vertigo titles, Dark Horse, you know what I mean? Like, that's why you like the books that are, you know, veering down a different path. Axe Cop is definitely a phenomenal example of, you know, what the fuck's going to happen next, batshit craziness.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and that's why I love the medium, is that you never know what you're going to get. There is so much diversity on the comic book shelf. It's just amazing.
It is, and it amazes me that there's not a lot of people that, I mean, don't get me wrong, but not many people, I should say, want to test the waters of non-Big Two. You know what I mean? Like, I go to stores where, you know, I mean, my local store, Scan number 2 sold something like 15, 16 issues, and they didn't, and that was all pre-orders. They didn't even order a one book for the
fans. Are you shitting me?
But meanwhile, that,
and yeah, you're their guy.
But yeah, yeah, but
I think, you know what? I think that might be. Time, I think maybe that's a reflection of the of fear of the industry, a reflection of the economy. I don't think we have quite the same fear, at least not here in Alberta.
Well, you know what it is? Like, to me, the biggest sell, and this is, you know, it's a local mom and pop store that I go to. It's not a, you know, I live in New York, but I don't, you know, do my weekly shopping at like Midtown Comics or Forbidden Planet or the bigger chains, or, you know, or Jim Hanley's Universe. I do it at a mom and pop store, and, you know, we released number 1 through them. We did like the signing, sold out of all the issues they had. Number 2, because, you know, I'm a neighborhood guy, so people ordered it. So out of the, you know, excuse me, out of the 25 number 1 issues they sold, they got 15 people who ordered it to their pull list. So 15 people ordered number 2. Then they didn't even get one for the shelf. I'm like, you didn't even get one for the shelf? And they were like, oh, well, you know, we only order even, they order like 5 Invincible. Like, they don't even, like, you know, they're like, our bread and butter is the big 2. And, you know, I'm blown away by that, because when you know, see people who are good retailers, you know, people know how to move.
You ought to just move. You ought to just move here.
Listen to me. We'll see what happens. But you have to move down here first with 2016 Mo and Joker.
That's true. If we don't make it.
Well, you know, we'll get Jesse Ventura as our political advisor. Yeah. Things will be fine.
Things will be fine, dude.
Things will be fine.
Yep.
Yeah, and now that I know, I'm going to just so I can help Wolfgang out, we're going to have the brightest colored suits when we get up to those debates. Neon green. I'm going to have an electric belt buckle. I'm going to have a top hat that says Wolfgang was here. It's going to be massive.
Excellent.
Hey, if it's plaid, I'm okay with it. I'm just saying, the bright blue didn't work for me. I thought it was odd.
I'm going to wear superhero shirts for my debates. Batman, Superman, Oxyman, stuff like that. All right.
Okay. Oxyman teams up with drunken werefell man, fights crime.
That'd be great. I think you have your next book now, Joe.
Yeah, that's it. It was a pitch. Accepted.
All right, Joe. You got anything else you want to cover here?
No, I'm good. I'm good, guys. Thanks for the chit chat.
All right, Chris, you got anything else?
Chris, I'm sorry I couldn't make you a believer, but I appreciate you giving the first two a try.
Oh, and I did really enjoy your story in Oxymoron. I enjoyed your art in Oxymoron.
Oh, you got the digital file, or did you?
I got the digital file. I haven't got the hard copy yet.
Yeah, the hardcover is beautiful, man. It's really, really nice.
Nice.
I can't wait. We just made our selections of covers.
Nice. What did you guys get?
I got Old School.
Did you go the Ray for Roberts?
I believe so. The Golden
Age. He wanted the Golden Age.
Golden Age, yes.
I also put in my vote.
Yep, that was Rafer. He was great.
I put in my vote for Golden Age number one and your cover as number two. And then I sent it over to Keith.
I normally am number two.
Yeah. Well, that you are. When I think of you, I think of a number two.
Big double deuce right here.
You know what? I don't know the artist, but the Cupid cover is gorgeous. I almost went that way.
Do you know who that is? That's actually on Twitter. Do you follow Larry's Comics?
I do.
Yeah, that's Larry. He drew that himself.
Nice.
You know what? I'm going to send a tweet out to him because that I almost went that way. I enjoy the Golden Age thing, so that's I thought it would look best on the shelf. But the Cupid thing was so sick and twisted that I enjoy just thinking about the image he created.
Yep. The Oxy Cupid with a little Bichadine hanging out, shooting arrows. Yeah, it was awesome. All the covers were, man. I mean, that book came together like phenomenally.
Yeah, I know. It was tough. Definitely tough to pick the cover you want because there were so many. I mean, they're all high quality. I said to everybody made their picks, I looked at it. I said, nobody picked the Clockwork Orange, which is an amazing cover, which talks to you about how high quality the books were.
There's not one bad cover. And there's covers that people might gravitate towards more, but there's really not one bad cover. Like, they all look good.
And why doesn't Tyler James, I mean, that guy could be working as an artist just as well as anything else. And he's very good.
Tyler is very good. You know what it is? There's only so many hats you can wear at one time.
I know. Yeah.
And that man is a mogul in the making, you know?
For sure.
But it's nice to have that tool. I mean, you know, at any time when if you want a story done and you know you can do it, that's gigantic.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. I am Mo, M-O at We Talk Podcasts, Mo_WeTalk. Chris is Wolfgang at We Talk Podcasts, Wolfgang_WeTalk on Twitter. And Joe, your plugs are?
I am Joe Mulv, JOEMULV, at Twitter. So reach out to me there or at joemulvart.com.
All right, Joe. And you know what? I'm thinking it would be fun. We're just going to throw a song on at the end of this one. So I'll let it be your request. Any song you want, I'll throw it on at the end of this podcast. What do you want?
Well, anyone you want. Like, you have this kind of reach with iTunes?
I have that kind of reach. I will in a bit. It's been for you. Probably already in my collection.
You know,
I have almost everything.
You're not going to have anything I would suggest.
Probably not, but let's say it.
You're not going to have. I am going to say Wasted by the Pie Tasters.
Wasted by the Pie Tasters. I'll track it down.
Look at you. Nice. I can send you the file if you want.
That might be easiest.
You let me know.
I'll see if I can track it down. Otherwise, I'll get it from you. And other than that, I think we're OUT. Chris, why don't you have the final word? Because, you're our guest.
We're out. Read more comic books.
That was kind of shitty. Joe, why don't you have the last word? Because it's your show.
Listen to me. The bottom line is that if you don't buy Scam, the terrorists win. And Chris and Wolfgang are both douche fucks and wrong. So don't listen and just go out and get the book. However, if you don't like it, then that's valid. That's fine. You don't have to like everything, but just give it a chance.
Give everything a chance.
You heard it. Joe is giving a money-back guarantee on Scam.
There you go. There you go.
100% in the book. Just read the book and it's in there.
And you may not
know this. Put the puzzle together to get the money
you may not know this because in Canada,
that's true.
In Canada, as a matter of fact, the name Wolfgang is second most popular behind Gord.
Wow. This is why you guys have all these different party systems. A two-party system to clean up this name problem. Too sweet.
All right. I'm shutting off the show. Something by the Pie Tasters. I can't remember what it was. Wasted. Wasted. Coming out by the Pie Tasters. Good night, guys.
Night.
Good night.
Makes a whole day painless. you can handle.